Can we make brains smarter? People already use drugs and enhancing technology to heal the brain. But in her Atlantic article, Hacking the Brain, journalist Maria Konnikova looks at the methods scientists are using or hoping to use to make minds more powerful. She joins us now. So, Maria, we all do things that affect the brain.
Absolutely. I mean, Robin, have you had a cup of coffee today?
Well, I get my caffeine cold, but yeah.
Well, there you go. So caffeine is a cognitively enhancing drug.
Yeah, there it is. And there's also drugs like Ritalin that are being used.
Yes, absolutely. So there are lots of drugs, Ritalin, modafinil, which is used for narcolepsy and sleep disorders, were developed with therapeutic purposes in mind, are now being used off-label, so to speak, to try to get people smarter. So people take Ritalin now in college, for instance, to concentrate, to improve their memory, to improve their retention. Modafinil makes people go longer. It's being used by the U.S. military, in fact, to try to see what they can do to make their soldiers be able to function for longer at a higher capacity.
Well, let's back up a second, because before even more college students run to take Ritalin, which is prescribed for people with ADHD and narcolepsy, and use it to stay up to take a test, there are side effects. And that's sort of a small reminder of the downside of all of this cognition enhancement.
Absolutely. I mean, none of this is, you know, the smart pill. For instance, Ritalin specifically might improve your attention span and make you be able to stay up later for that assignment, but it also impacts your creativity. So you might not be able to connect ideas quite as well. You definitely won't have that sort of insight into, you know, if you're trying to write a paper and you want to have an insightful argument, that might not happen with Ritalin.
There's the same kinds of side effects with other drugs. But the point
yes.
is that when scientists see that we can do something with a drug, we can impact the brain with a drug, they are looking forward to maybe, you know, personalizing things and taking away some of these side effects. Give us the overarching here. There's a saying that you quote that human beings only use 10% of their brain power. Is that true, by the way?
That isn't true. No. So I quote it as one of the myths that we like to adhere to so that we have this blue sky ahead of us that we can make ourselves smarter. But the truth is we use all of our brains. We don't necessarily use everything as efficiently. We can develop certain parts of the brain. We can form new connections, but we do use the whole brain. It's just a question of efficiency, of training, of effectiveness.
Right. And that's what people are researching right now. When you spoke about drugs, you spoke to a neuroscientist at MIT mm-hmm. who says that, you know, some biotech companies are looking to personalized drugs.
Yeah, this is Guoping Fang, and he was telling me about some fascinating research about basically people who use what we are now learning about the human genome to then in the future be able to give you a personalized medicine. We can say, okay, it looks like, you know, you're a very creative person, but your memory is lacking. So let me give you something that's going to affect that one particular thing and to make you the best possible version of you. This is something that people are working towards.
And there are a lot of questions about it. We'll get to some of those. But you set off on a journey to learn what else is going on and started with sort of electronic stimulation. And you tried it. Now, we know about electroshock therapy. So what's different now?
So this is called transcranial direct current stimulation. And what that means is you basically put little jolts of current through your brain at specific points in your brain. And depending on where you put electrodes on your head, the strength of the electric current and the interval between the different currents, you get to create different sorts of brain patterns. So what I tried was a do-it-yourself type of electronic stimulation. There's a company called Think, THYNC, actually based in Boston, trying to create this device that, you know, you can send out to your home. So far, they only have two different vibes, they call them. One is called calm and one is called energize. And those things have cognitive side effects as well. And by side effects, I actually mean good side effects. So when you're calmer, you're able to, you know, reflect, you're able to focus more. When you're energized, that gives you kind of the same type of jolt that you'd get with caffeine, but it actually can last longer. We know some of these things last for up to 2 hours after the fact. You know, a few years ago, this was still just being tested in the lab, and people weren't quite sure if it was safe or not.
Well, now it's been tested on 3,000 people, including you, and you are maybe a cautionary tale because you wanted the calming jolt, but instead you got this electric shock and sort of, oops, you know, software problem. But I mean, I would think that that would be one of the concerns, strapping things onto your head.
Well, honestly, you know, I tested it for the sake of science and journalism. And what happened was three electric shocks to the head, kind of very one flew over the cuckoo's nest-like. And it hurt. And they told me, oh, we're so sorry. This was defective. Why don't you try it again? But to be quite honest, after that had happened several times, I had no desire to try it again.
Well, and also, I look just at that, mild shocks to the head for some calming or a little bit of a jolt that might last a half an hour, as you said, a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Why not do yoga for the calm and run a half a mile for the jolt?
You are absolutely right. And to be perfectly honest, the data we have for things like that far surpasses the data for any single cognitive enhancing technology that we currently have. So the best things you can do are sleep, exercise, eat right, things that you would normally do for a healthy lifestyle. Those are the types of things that are going to enhance your cognition above and beyond anything like the current stimulation to your head.
And yet, if you have a problem like Parkinson's, deep brain stimulation, electrodes that are put inside your brain, deep in there where the think electrodes can't reach, can maybe help with depression and with other related illnesses.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, therapeutically, deep brain stimulation, we're just in its infancy and already we're seeing huge impacts. People who've been depressed for decades, for whom nothing has worked, for whom basically life has not been worth living, are suddenly seeing themselves reawakened. And people with Parkinson's, their symptoms are controlled, their tremors are controlled. And this is being tested in more and more diseases. So when it's used correctly for what it was developed for therapeutic purposes, this is really a beautiful technology. But people even want to use deep brain stimulation where you have, you know, that is open brain surgery. You get electrodes inserted inside your head. People want to use that for cognitive enhancement.
Well, look down the road, because electrodes are one thing, but people are considering chips put directly in the head that would link directly to the internet.
Yes, this is something that a team at Oxford University is looking at. They have this dream that everyone will be always connected to the internet and potentially even to each other. So you can even go a step further. And what if your chip were connected to someone else's chip and you could kind of get a collective brain power? And on the one hand, you can see why someone would want a chip in their brain. It's like instant memory, instant internet. You have all of this information at your disposal. On the other hand, you know, it's the same as with all these technologies. If we're having privacy concerns about the NSA checking on our phones and our emails, imagine what happens when we now have brain chips in our head and the government, you know, medical institutions, whoever it is, has access to that data.
Well, and that brings us to maybe the most controversial approach to this, as you write, neuroenhancement. Not stimulating the brain, but re-engineering it. We know so much about the human genome now. There's miraculous ways that an embryo's genome could be altered to fight disease. But then what if you can identify genes associated with being smart and manipulate them?
There is now, for the first time, a technology that's being developed at Harvard and MIT that can take one single gene and change it before someone is even born, at least in theory. That's what we can do. And people are thinking, oh, well, why can't we just do this to create super people? Why can't I, you know, have a designer baby? And I think that is a long way off because intelligence is incredibly complicated and there's no such thing as a smart gene. I mean, there are lots of genes that interact with each other and they have a different function at different points in our development. So that's a very distant possibility, but we're going to have to figure out a lot more before we can do that.
Well, the ethical questions, would the very rich then be able to afford tinkering with an embryo and be the only ones to afford to put the smart genes in if you find them? How would physicians determine who would use these inventions? A lot of ethical questions remain. But you found great excitement.
I did find great excitement despite the ethical concerns. But the funny thing is, the biggest concern, at least for now, we're not even at the ethics yet. It's a question of health, because we don't actually know what will happen to us in the long term if we do manage to rev our brains up. Our brains have been enhanced over millennia. And so what if they're already running as they should be, and if we make them try to run more efficiently, faster, become better at something, what is the long-term effect? Are we going to die sooner? Are we going to get dementia sooner? All of these health questions, we haven't answered those yet.
Maria Konnikova, her article in The Atlantic is Hacking the Brain. She's also author of Mastermind, How to Think Like Sherlock Holmes, and the forthcoming Confidence Game. Maria, thank you so much for talking to us about this and for allowing yourself to be a guinea pig.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.